Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 10th day of March, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Updates with Keith. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that I did not say Yiddish, our language, Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Kumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And if you go there, you'll see the Daily Mail page where there's links for up-to-date information on news and current events and prepper information, health information, etc. The home page is where you get instructions to help us out with a donation if you feel led to do so. And for those who do, thank you very much. If you do not have my personal contact information, you can go to the Contact Us page and put a note in there for me, and I'll get it and get back to you as soon as possible. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're there, folks. If my people, not everybody, but if my people on whom my name is named make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their sin, and will give life again to their land. So, dystopia, that's pretty much the word in the dictionary that describes the world that we live in today, not only here in the United States, but pretty much everywhere at the moment. I'm in constant contact with people telling me about what's going on in their lives. And even though we have good news coming from certain circles, there's a lot of bad news about the condition of society in general. So you got to stay strong, though, but yet you can only do that if you stay focused on the Father. He is the anchor for all of us. He's the touchstone for all of us in these troubled waters that we find ourselves. He's the rudder for our ship, so to speak. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring Keith, our guest today, on the program, and let's see if we have a good connection or not. Keith, can you hear me? Okay, Keith, are you there? You're on the screen, but I can't hear you. Hello? All right, well, when he's here, he can just jump in. Apparently, he had to step away from his computer. So, oh, hold on a minute. Are you there, Keith? Okay. Hello? Well, I'm not sure what's going on. So, I'll talk a little bit here about some of the things that, okay, you unmuted, but I don't hear you, Keith. So you maybe your mic's not plugged in, the connector is not in all the way or something. But I'm not picking up any. There's some sound. Hello?
Yep, Hank, yeah, can you hear me now, Dan?
Yeah, you're pretty loud.
Okay, hold on a second. I don't know what's going on here. Give me a second.
Okay. Yeah.
Technical difficulties.
Well, we seem to be having a lot of that here lately. I noticed the phone service is doing strange things quite a bit, at least on my end. I'll be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden the phone call just disappears. Other times there's a lot of delays, or there's some horrible sounding interference with the audio section, and that's in the phone service. As far as computers, I mean, I've had a couple instances where the computer just put itself in restart without me touching a thing. So sometimes you lose work or lose things that you were doing. Fortunately, with the newer computers anyway, they have a restore section to where they're keeping copies of things even though you don't know it, so that if that happens, you can kind of get back to pretty close to where you left off before the crash. I remember when computers first started coming out, that was one of the troubles that we had in the business, was if computers crashed, you lost everything. There was no backup unless you did it manually. You lost everything. And I knew friends of mine that would spend an entire workday on different paperwork and work orders and things like that. The thing would crash and they would lose 7 or 8 hours worth of work. So we got pretty well schooled in the idea that you got to back up everything on a separate device, and you saved often. We had a saying that, you know, save often as far as your workload and things like that. But while Keith's getting his computer straightened out, just go over some of the things that I'm hearing about now on the good side.
Okay, hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're really loud.
Because for some reason, my headphones and my microphone are not working, so I'm on my computer audio.
Oh, okay. Well, you're coming in loud, loud and clear, I mean.
Is it too loud?
That sounds closer to where it should be, yeah.
Okay, let me just move it away from me.
That's pretty good.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll just have to use, I can't use my headphones, I guess. I don't know what happened. They were just working the other day.
Well, we were just talking about that. Strange things in the world of electronics, computers, telephones, everything. It's amazing the change in the world just in my lifetime. I was just talking with my son about that, and just the weird things. I mean, it's almost like a dream state, like surreal, the way the world is today. I mean, I look back to my childhood living out on a farm and how idyllic everything was, with lots of fresh air and sunshine, peace and quiet. There was no real law enforcement anywhere to be seen. We had our garden, so we had garden fresh food and crystal clear water. And I look back at that and was like, man, I was in heaven, and I didn't even know it. I mean, compared to this poisoned world with poisoned minds and goofy things going on, people saying and doing goofy things, and it's just really bizarre.
Yeah, well, the whole world is bizarre, right? I mean,
that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole world is just bizarre out there. I've encountered more people who, you know, they just have no idea what's even happening. They're just totally consumed with these sports and, you know, these entertainment activities and movies and TV shows and their phones. They're consumed with these phones. It's really bizarre. You know, I see people walking down the street and they're staring at their phone. What could you possibly be looking at? I mean, what are these people always looking at on their telephones?
I don't know. I don't know. Some guy or some people, it appears to be games. I have noticed that even with people that in my area here, as I walk by them, you can kind of like see off into the corner of your eye that it's some kind of a game. They're playing a game. They have to be like perpetually entertained. I mean, that's the way it sounds. So if they're not actually engaged a conversation or doing a task, they immediately go to their phone, because then they'll click on a game or a sporting event or something. They've got to be entertained 24 hours a day. And that's the only thing I can think of, is why else would you be on a phone? Like, you know, you're driving down the road. You should be watching the road. I mean, I can't tell you how many near misses I've seen. People sitting at a red light, it turns green, and they're still there 15 seconds later, because they're not paying attention to anything on the highway. They're looking at something either on their phone or the big screen now in all the cars. So it's bad enough that we got these handheld devices taking our attention away from things we should be watching. Now they put these big screens in the damn cars. So even if you don't have a phone, your car is going to take your eyes off the road. It's crazy. Over to you.
Yeah, it's very strange. All people seem to care about is their 401ks, their wealth, and entertainment, which I have a feeling was the same thing as in the days of Noah.
Yeah, that's a good point, right?
Wealth and entertainment, right? Same thing with the Roman Empire, right? Wealth and entertainment. Greece, the Empire of Greece, right? Empire of Greece, entertainment and wealth, right? There's a common thread here. And right now we're in the wealth and entertainment, and it's all they actually care about. They don't even care about their children. I'm convinced of this, Dan. I go back and forth on it. I truly believe now that the parents nowadays who have children, let's say any parents under 30 years old do not care about their children. I am completely convinced of this, especially the new parents. Again, going back to the phone thing, I see people walking down the street pushing their baby carriage, and instead of talking to their baby in the carriage or their one or two-year-old there, however old they are, and pointing out the birds and pointing out, you know, cars and whatever else they're pointing out, the sky and clouds, they're sitting there, they got one hand on the carriage they're pushing, the baby stroller they're pushing, and their other hand they've got the phone in it, and they're scrolling with their thumb, staring at the phone. Half the time they step off the sidewalk into the street and don't even look.
Oof. Wow.
It's rather a sad situation. That's why this place is being destroyed as we speak. Father God is completely fed up with this place. He's completely fed up with his people. We deserve what's ever coming, Dan.
I agree. I was just talking again with my son, and we were talking about the situation we see in like the workplace and amongst families, and everything's coming apart at the seams, and you can feel it. You can feel it. In fact, I've had a lot of conversations with Ella here about prophecy, Book of Daniel, Acts of Thomas, different things like that, and just what we can pick up as empaths, because Yahweh's people are empathetic and they have intuitive abilities that the average zombie does not have. So when you put all those things together, it's like you get this picture painted, and it's not pretty as far as the world is concerned. The only good news out of that is that, as you said, as it was in the days of Noah, we were told that it would be that way just before his coming, and the fact that this is all going to be turned around. And in the days of Noah, of course, it was terrible what was going on around Noah's family, and we represent Noah's family, and what we see going on around us is disheartening and actually sickening in many cases. It's just unbelievable what people think is normal anymore, or what they think is acceptable. I guess that's the word I should use. What they accept as, quote, normal behavior is completely abnormal. Back to you.
Yeah, it's completely abnormal behavior. But they're trained by the television set, right? They're trained by these reality shows. I was at a store, and the same person who was working at the store has been working there a long time, right? So I don't really know them, but I'm friendly with them, right? And so a little market down the road. And this person, I don't know, this is the other thing, the whole vanity thing, right, where this plastic surgery, this weird stuff that's going on with this plastic surgery and this Botox. Well, I looked at this lady's face, and I was taken back by it. The person they were actually a fairly good-looking woman, right, before this. And they're probably about 40 years old or so, but she was a good-looking woman before. I don't know what she did, but apparently she's got, like,
what's called fillers in her face, because I did some research when I came home on it, because I was actually taken back by what her face looked like. She actually looks like a monster now. With these fillers injected into her face and all this Botox in her face. And I'm saying to myself as I'm looking at her, which is very, it was very disturbing to look at, but this goes along with the whole phone thing and plastic surgery thing and keeping up with the Kardashians, right? These movie stars, these television stars. This is what this goes along with. And I was actually extremely disturbed. I couldn't even look at her face. That's how disturbing it was. So I'm saying to myself, I'm like, who told you that this looks good? And who was the doctor who did this?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole bizarre thing how women now, and I feel sorry for people who are coming up in the world in their 20s and 30s who aren't married yet and haven't found a good woman to be with, who they want to marry, because it's going to be very, very difficult for any person in their 20s or 30s now to get married to any sort of woman. These women are not only destroying their facial features with these chemicals that they're injecting into their faces and lips, but they're basically dressed like whores. So you've got this double whammy going for our men nowadays. And I don't know, you know, I guess it's meant to be this way, Dan. I guess it's just meant to be this way. And maybe this stuff was going on back in biblical times with different, you know, maybe they were injecting these fillers in the days of Noah into their faces, right? We don't know what kind of technology they had.
They were doing strange and bizarre things to themselves, that's for sure. They were behaving in ways that he did not approve of, obviously. And they were unnatural. And you bring up a good point. I was just talking to a very close relative about relationships. He's single in his 30s. He's a good guy. He works hard, cares about family, cares about friends, and all that stuff. He's a believer. He follows the laws of Yahweh. But we were talking about what women expect from relationships today. And it's like, and again, this is not going to say that all women are this way, but a large number of them are very narcissistic when it comes to relationships. The women of today, especially the younger ones, I'm going to say probably 40 and lower, they have this attitude that it's the man's job to cater to their whims in order to have a relationship. His life must revolve around them and not the other way around, which is completely opposite, of course, of what Scripture says. The man is the one given a job to do, so to speak, or a mandate from Father Yahweh upon the earth, and then the helpmeet is the females. And today it's been turned upside down. The females, and they're not ashamed of this at all. They'll come right out and say, you need to do this, or why are you making me unhappy, or I don't like this. And a lot of times it's very subjective. It's not even real issues. It's emotional things or very inconsequential things. And they get bent out of shape, triggered, unhappy, and they start giving verbal abuse. And I'm hearing it more and more and more. It's just unbelievable. So, again, when Scripture says that evil would be called good and good would be called evil, we're living it. I mean, literally, you're living it, because everything is 180 degrees out of sync. At least that's the way it appears to me. Back to you.
Yeah, Dan, that goes along with the whole thing with feminism, right? You know, the enemy, the synagogue of Satan, whatever you want to call these people. We can call them multiple names. I'll just stick with the synagogue of Satan. Everybody knows who that is. If you don't know who that is, I don't know what to tell you. But the whole feminism thing, you know, started back in, I guess, the 60s, along with lots of other interesting things like that. The sexual revolution, so-called sexual revolution, started then. Society really started to change at that time, and feminism was one of the big ones, right? There is no way, you know, women are not, and this isn't I'm not bashing women, right? I love my wife. I love women. This is not bashing them, but women are not supposed to be in the workplace, okay? Women are supposed to be taking care of the household. And what these enemies of ours have done is they've taken the women out of the household and put them in these corporate jobs. First of all, women are too emotional to do anything in the corporate world, in my opinion. Women are completely different than men, and that's how God designed them. Women are more caring and nurturing. That's why their main job is to raise the children and take care of the household. Their job is not to be in a courtroom as a trial lawyer, right? Because they don't. It's just not supposed to be that way. And you've got the women in the women in the boardroom, and these CFOs are women, and the CEOs are women of these big corporations. None of them are happy, Dan. There's not one of those people who are happy. You know who I find to be the happiest women? Are the ones who stay home and take care of the household and the children.
Correct.
Because that's what their job was meant to be. These enemies of ours have switched it all upside down. And like I tell people all the time, whatever you're told by the people on the TV, do the exact opposite, you'll be fine. Whatever you're told by the mainstream newspaper, do the exact opposite, you'll be fine. Whatever you're told by the mainstream radio, do the exact opposite, and you'll be fine. If people followed that general rule of thumb, society would be a much better place, but now you've got daycare is raising people's children because either the woman wants to work or has to work, right? That's the other problem we have, right? When I was growing up, and I'm 50, I don't know how old I am, Dan. I'm 52, I think. Something like that, anyway. Right? Time is moving so fast, I have no idea how old I am anymore. I still feel like I'm 30, right? So,
yeah, I know.
But I remember growing up, and I was fortunate enough to grow up in a middle class, upper middle class upbringing. So I was rather fortunate in that way. But no women worked. All the women pretty much stayed home and took care of the children and took care of the household while the man was in the office or at his construction job or wherever else he was, because we really didn't need two incomes. And before that, in the 60s, 50s, 40s, and whatever, going even back more in time in the 70s, a woman didn't need to work at all. The husband could make a good income, whether he's pounding nails for a living or he's a doctor for a living. Now there's actually people out there whose husband is a dentist, and the woman has to work because a dentist can't make enough money, to support his four or five kids who all want to go to college, right?
Right.
So we've been in a real quandary here where the enemies of God and the enemies of us, and they are the enemies of God. John chapter 8, go read that John chapter 8 in the Bible if you don't understand who the enemies of God are. Christ told us this in John chapter 8 very, very plainly and bluntly who the enemies of God are. And these people have taken over our society, and they've destroyed the family unit. And they started with the black family, right? They've destroyed – blacks used to have a husband and wife in a household, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they targeted the black family. They've destroyed them, and now they're moving on to the white families and are destroying them. Then I have a feeling they're going to move on to the Asian families and destroy them. And then they're going to move on to the Mexican families, like whatever you want to call these folks, South American Mexicans, whatever you want to call them. They're going to destroy them last because Mexicans have a tight family-knit unit. They still live in multi-generational households, Mexicans do. So they're going to have a tough time with that one. But they're slowly chipping away at it. I mean, the white family's basically – I would say it's been destroyed now. It's over. It's done. White families have completely been destroyed. Everybody I know is pretty much divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So back to you, Dan.
Well, you're correct. We're describing a dystopic society, and the enemy certainly had a huge part to play in it, and it's by design. They knew exactly how to create chaos. They knew exactly how to pander to our vices. They've been doing it for thousands of years. You can read about it in the Bible. You can go to the Old Testament and the story of Balaam and Balak and how they figured out the way to get the Israelites is through race mixing, by putting the prettiest of the non-whites near the camps. Sure enough, Israelite men started wandering over into the other camps, and next thing you know, they're sleeping with them, and race mixing's going on, and they lose every battle from that point on. And so we lose the battle of life on an ongoing basis because we are involved in the same thing. We are idolaters, which means we worship idols. And some people say, well, no, I don't have any statues in an altar in my home where I burn incense and get down on my knees and pray to it. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. Anything you revere, anything you fear, anything you respect, anything you seek after is an idol, especially if it's other than the Father himself, okay? Worshiping him and seeking him is what we should be doing, which would keep our families together, which would keep our heads screwed on straight. Instead, we're seeking entertainment, money, power, prestige, acceptance in the circles of the demon worshipers. I mean, you name it, we've turned everything into an idol except for the Father himself. So we're 180 degrees out once again. We work our asses off in the workplace to get enough money to buy a new car. And then you get the new car, you find out half the things on it don't work. So you're frustrated with that. And like you said, everybody's upset because it isn't working, but they can't seem to wrap their head around the fact it's not working because you're an idol worshiper. Idols can't give you anything. That's the irony of it. You know, you can worship the Jew all you want. He's not going to give you anything. Everything you've got, he believes, belongs to him. He's only letting you have it temporarily to where he can sink his hooks into you better, and he's going to yank everything out from you. That's the irony. So people are trying to satisfy these Jews, and the Jews have plans to rip everything away from you, destroy everything that you've got. That's their plan. I mean, and they're open about it. It's not like it's a secret. They're very open about it, and yet people are so addicted to, as you said, what their faces are in their phones or their computers. They are literally addicts for the electronic toys that the Jews produce because they make them fancy, they make them glitz and glitter, and they make them cheap enough to where now you can have all kind of toys. And the people just don't have what it takes to resist that temptation because they have separated themselves from walking with the Father, who is the main touchstone for each and every one of us is our relationship, not our Bible reading, Bible knowledge, going to church, or any of the other window dressing that most people think makes them, quote, religious or appear so. They forget that Yahweh is a father. He's a creator, but a father. He is the source of all that is right and good. And it isn't religion that we're to be after. We are to seek a relationship, an actual physical relationship with our creator father. And that means daily communication and having him, as it says in Scripture, he should be on our minds when we get up in the morning, and he should be the last thing we think about before we go to bed. Not the children, not the missus, not the husband, not the boss, not the corporate stock portfolio. No, no, no. Those are not the things to occupy your mind as you get ready to drift off into your evening of sleep. It should be the Father. Did I do a good job today? Do I represent you? Have I given you proper thanks for the things that I do have that are right? The times that I do the righteous thing versus what the world sees is right. That is the part that we're missing, this relationship thing. And it should be evident to all the white people, every white nation is in a state of chaos today. It's being invaded by non-whites at an alarming rate. And yet the white men are still sitting around like, what are we going to do about it? Nobody's got a plan. What happened with your intestinal fortitude? What happened with your common sense? What happened to your will to survive? You've got people hell-bent on destroying you and all the people that look like you. And yet you still don't sense alarm? Danger? As you said, our families are being destroyed. The children are basically raised by either pedophiles or perverts. And yet there's no alarm. There's no sense of danger, imminent danger, in the average white man. He should be grabbing his weapon now. I don't. Back to you, buddy.
Well, Dan, let me touch on idolatry a little bit more. Idolatry is true. That's what this society is falling into. But a unique form of idolatry is when our people make up a god in their head, how they want Father God to be, which is another form and a dangerous form of idolatry, if you understand what I'm saying there. Right, they're not so-called worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping a God they have made up in their brain, right? That they've made a God up in their head that is completely unlike the God of the Bible, even though they say they're, you know, a Christian or whatever they might be, right? So that's a point of idolatry too. And that's happening in a lot of these churches nowadays with this extreme grace message they preach, right? Lots of churches nowadays are preaching an extreme grace message where, oh, you're forgiven of everything and everything's going to be okay. And, oh, yeah, you can still go and do, you know, you can still go get drunk and attend parties and do all this stuff because they've made up a God in their head that has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. And as far as a relationship with God, they don't have a relationship with God. The only time they think about Father God is when something goes wrong in their life and they try and use him as a genie in a bottle. And how I know this is because me and my wife have been attending a church just about every Sunday for about 6 or 7 months now. And what I'm finding is inside of this church, the people mean well, but they're being led astray by wolves in sheep's clothing, namely the pastors. Okay? The pastors are no longer preaching repent. You know, they're no longer preaching repentance and turn away from your evil and wickedness. They're preaching an extreme grace message where you really don't need to repent. And everything's fine because God loves you and he forgives you and you're a good person. Well, as the Bible says, there are no good people. Right? Even when Christ was, you know, the man came up to Christ and said, oh, hey, he said something in effect of, oh, good master. And what did Christ say? There's no one good but God, the Father. Mm-hmm. Right? So they've taken on this thing of this good person, I'm a good person thing. And instead of obeying the moral code of God, which is the Ten Commandments, which are still in effect today, they think that they're a good person. Well, if you sit there and you go through the Ten Commandments with the people, and you can start off, have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever, you know, do you lie on a, do you lie? Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you commit adultery in your heart, right? If you start going through all these things with them, they realize that they're not a good person. They might be a good person in relation to some Jewish man-made laws, but they're not a good person in God's eyes, and they all believe that they're a good person, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really a sad state of what these churches have done to our people. The church is a dangerous spot for them to be. And the reason why I see it, and if you went to a church, Dan, you would probably see it too, and so would all the people in the chat here, they would see it also, where they've watered down the message of Jesus from the New Testament. And they have certainly watered down the Old Testament. And we know that they're all one big book. They shouldn't be divided. There should be no chapter nor verse numbers in the Bible. It's one long story of history, law, and the way you should live. But you know, for the common people who don't understand that, I'm speaking in terms that they can understand here. So it's one big book from start to end, and it's one big book about one group of people. That message is completely gone, and this extreme grace message is extremely dangerous because, as Christ said, at the end of the age, the people are going to come up at judgment and say, well, we casted out demons in your name. We did this in your name. We preached the gospel in your name. And what's Christ going to do? He's going to turn to them and say, I never knew you. Out of here.
Yep. So, depart from me.
Depart from me, right? So people better get their stuff in order. Start picking up their Bible. Dust off your Bible. Get in the Word. Get a concordance. Do word studies. And figure all this stuff out. Another thing that's really interesting, Dan, that I think I touched on with you the other day when we spoke on the phone, was that I've been meeting with the pastor of the church. He's the second pastor. He founded the church that we go to with the main pastor. So he could be considered a main pastor also. But, Dan, as I was saying, this guy knows nothing about the Bible.
Hmm.
He literally knows nothing about the Bible. They have no idea who's who, what's what. All they know is they focus on a few verses from Romans. They focus on a few verses from 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. They won't touch 2 Peter, nor will they really touch 1 Peter at all. They will not touch the book of Revelation. They touch on a couple verses in Galatians. And every once in a while, they'll go back in the Old Testament, but they will never, ever touch on the law. They will never, ever touch on the Ten Commandments. So it's a very, very watered-down comprehension of the Bible that these people have, and they do the same, pretty much the same sermon or speech, whatever you want to call it, or talk, every Sunday based around about 10 or 12 different Bible passages that are almost always taken out of context. So that's the problem with the churches in the nutshell. And then you can go more in depth on other problems of the churches, but that's the main problem. That's why our people are so lost, Dan, because they think when they go to church on Sunday that that's what the Father wants. Nowhere in the Bible does it say attend church. Right? It doesn't say it anywhere. It says gather in fellowship, right, with like-minded people. It doesn't say, it says call no man teacher, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they've got somebody standing up on a platform who they're viewing as an idol, the pastor, right? The pastor's become an idol now, and the pastor has also become their teacher instead of the Bible and God's Word being their teacher, and then going to a Bible-believing, truth-telling church on Sunday to reinforce what they read and studied in the Bible that week.
Amen, brother.
So that's the problem that we have with the churches. And I don't know if the pastors are doing it. I'm sure some are very evil men and do this stuff on purpose, and I'm sure there's some who are just completely clueless idiots, attended some Bible college or some dumbed-down seminary where they don't even use the Bible, right?
Exactly.
So they don't know. They don't study the Bible. All pastors do, and I've met with this, and this guy's a nice guy. This pastor's a nice man. I think he means well. I just think he's confused. I think he's been tricked. And I'm not going to change his mind because there's a sense of pride, right? The sin of pride these people live in. So I call them know-it-alls, right? Even though they think they're know-it-alls, but they know nothing. So I'm not going to change his mind. So I just probe and kind of dance around the issues because I'm interested to see what he says and what his answers are to me when I bring up these specific passages and phrase them in a way where I want an honest answer from him. And the answers that he gives me to the questions I have are, they're like, I don't know, it's parroted information they're receiving from the place they went to Bible college at, right? They've done mm-hmm. no research on their own. They have never done a word study in their life. They have no idea who is who in the Bible. They have no idea that the whole basis of the Bible is Genesis 3:15. I mean, if you don't know that, you can't possibly know anything about the Bible. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So you have people teaching who are supposed teachers and pastors standing on a platform every Sunday with congregations sometimes of thousands, right, Dan? Like this clown Joel Osteen, right, and these other megachurch pastors. And a lot of them are doing it on purpose, right? They're evil men. But your local church in your community where the guy's got 50 or 100 people there, even a couple hundred people there, I don't believe they're evil. I believe that they've just been duped. And it's their own fault they've been duped because they know they don't read the Bible in context. I mean, how can you be a pastor for 40 years and not understand Genesis 3:15, Dan?
Well, I don't see how you can do it, obviously, but you're right. It's before I learned identity, thank goodness, too, and many people are starting to come over to the identity message. But before I learned that, I had attended many, many churches, starting with the Methodist, but eventually in Baptist and Assemblies of God and all the rest. But you're right. They have a form of godliness. They have this ritualistic ceremonies. They call it church, but it's basically a ritual. So much so that they have programs to hand out. So literally everything you're going to hear and do is laid out in a, quote, program, which is a structured, what do you want to call it, a structured event that is programmed to take anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half and no more. So there is no leading of the Spirit. There is no spontaneity. Every hymn you sing has already been pre-programmed. Who's going to speak for how long? That's pre-programmed. And when you realize that, you find there's no power in it. There's no change, a person's changed life. There's, and really, not even true instruction as to what our Father wants us to know. They have pre-programmed sermons. They have pre-programmed Sunday school lessons. And they will avoid the tricky things like Luke 19, verse 27. They won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, where he says, bring all those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. All right? They're preaching a different creator God. They're preaching a different Messiah. And they're preaching a different racial message. Totally, totally against everything that the true church, which is the body of believers, not a building, the assembly of the saints, has been teaching for hundreds of years. They understood Genesis 3:15. They understood that they are a peculiar people separated from the rest of the world. They've abandoned all that to go with this new age teaching that you're talking about. And again, you're right. They have made an organization, whether it be Methodist or Baptist, an idol. They've made the local pastors idols. And then you throw on top of it the Antichrist Jew and his bullshit that he preaches over the electronic devices, and their heads are full of nonsense. Unfortunately, they don't have enough of the Holy Spirit operating in their life that they even realize that they're walking around totally dazed. It reminds me of when years ago, right after I came to know identity, I was visiting, and this is in the age before computers. We would go to gatherings, and many times the identity gatherings would attract the local skinheads, Aryan Nations, National Socialist people, and it was an opportunity to talk to these typically young men. There were sometimes older guys and women there, but typically they were young fighting age men that were part of these groups. And I got a chance to meet them, and I was shocked at how many of them I met that were really, really good guys. I mean, they were smart, they were well-read, they had good hearts, they had good intentions. But you could tell there was nobody in their life teaching them the truth of the Bible. And so, therefore, they got to the point where they considered everything of Scripture to be Jewish, everything of Scripture to be anti-white. The church world in general was a total waste of time. And so they threw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Were they true about the church and the pastors being, you know, deceivers and leading the white race astray? Yeah, they were. But they kept on going to where all Scripture has been adulterated by the Jew. All Scripture was originated by the Jew. So Yahweh himself is a Jewish God. And so they turned away from all of the instructions that our ancient ancestors left for us. They've turned away from his Holy Spirit because they believe the Father is just a Jewish creation. And so they're left with only one thing, and that's the racial aspect of what's going on. So in a way, that's okay because it's important and it fits in with what Yahweh told us. So it gets you part of the way towards a solution because obviously, race mixing is wrong, and allowing non-whites to rule over whites is wrong. That's just common sense. However, without that additional piece, you have an incomplete journey through this world. You've got the racial part, but you're still not going to be happy. Okay, I know lots of people who are racialists, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're happy, because Father put a hole in Adam right here in our chest. We have this great big cavity that's only filled by him. So every Adamite man, every white Caucasian Israelite that's walking around, he might feel satisfied that he's got a good job or a decent home, but that little cavity that sits in the middle of his chest can only be filled by the Holy Spirit, can only be filled by a relationship with the Creator himself. And that's the piece they're missing. If you want to walk through this dystopic world and have some sense of being alive and accomplishing something of value, you can only do that if you're walking in accordance with and taking the hand, literally as the scripture says, taking his hand as the person in authority and allowing him a place in your life, allowing him to be the guidepost and the author of what's right and wrong. Then you can find true happiness, because now you've got the racial aspect down, but you also have the spiritual side. We are spirit beings, and that's the part where most of the racialist groups are out to lunch. They think we're just like Darwin, the idiot Darwin said, we're just animals like all the rest of the animals, and we're slightly different so because we can build a car and a monkey can't build a car. But other than that, we're just like the animal world. Well, they leave out that whole relationship thing with our Creator and the spiritual aspect. They walk away from that, and that's a huge key. Back to you.
Yeah, the spiritual aspect is the most important thing there is, Dan. And the white nationalists, I don't understand their thinking, and I can speak on this because I wasn't brought up in a church. I wasn't brought up in my household growing up. We never talked about God or Jesus or anything like that. We lived in a secular, materialistic household is the way I grew up. My parents are great people, but they just it's just the way we grew up, right? Like a lot of people. But I never – I always knew there was a God. I never thought – I was never an atheist or anything like that. But the problem with these white nationalists is – and that's the direction when I started – before I came to the truth of identity and the truth of the Bible and the truth of Jesus and who's who and who's what and so forth and so on, I was coming up through the white nationalist, I don't know what you'd call it, movement for lack of a better word, right? And when I came to identity, I actually came to identity because I wanted to prove Bill Fink wrong. is the way I came to know the truth of identity was I set out to prove Bill Fink incorrect on what he was saying about who Christ was, so forth and so on, who the Israelites were. Well, I ended up proving to myself that, you know, who the Israelites are and who Christ is all true, that you were saying, and that, because I didn't know who you were back then. I came across Bill the first. What Bill was saying was all true. So it backfired on me. So the white nationalists, what they believe, you know, white nationalists understand, as you know, that Jews are liars. They're born liars, right? They're born wicked liars. As it says in Psalm 59 something, I believe, that, you know, they come out of the womb lying, right? They're born liars. So, you know, they believe that 9/11, the official story of 9/11 is BS. They believe that the Holocaust cost is BS. They believe that the banking system is complete fraud. They believe that all the social programs that the Jews implement are, you know, to destroy society. But they miss this one vital aspect of the whole piece of the puzzle, right? So they believe that Jews – let me backtrack a little bit. So they believe that Jews are all liars. 9/11 was perpetrated, right? They believe all these things, right? And they know all these things to be true. They don't just believe it. They know all these things to be true. And there's a difference between belief and knowing something is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But here's where they miss the whole – the final piece of the puzzle. And that is that they know Jews are liars, but they believe Jews when they say that the Israelites are Jews, Jesus was a Jew, and the Bible is a Jewish book. They believe that when Jews tell them that, but everything else a Jew says is a lie, right? They believe, right? So there's right. a big disconnect there. And here's the reason why I think it is. Well, I know it's this. If they recognize that the Bible is not a Jewish book, I mean, the Jews follow the Talmud. They don't even crack open the Bible. It's not even their book, right? They even say this. They don't even they study the Talmud and the Zohar and the Kabbalah. So the problem with white nationalists is that if they ever come to recognize that the Bible is not a Jewish book, that Christ was a, for lack of a better term, white Caucasian, Aryan, white person, whatever you want to, whatever term you want to throw in there, that the tribes of Israel are not Jewish, that the tribes of Israel founded all of the European, white Western European countries, and also founded the United States of America, Australia, New Zealand, so forth and so on, and that the God of the Bible is real and the creator of the entire universe, if they come to that realization, Dan, they will have to stop living in sin.
Oh, okay.
Okay? They mm-hmm. love their sin. They love their drinking. They love their pot smoking. They love their premarital sex. They love their, they love their movies they watch. They love their sports they watch. They love all these things. So they would be forced, if they recognize that what we say is the truth, and it absolutely is, they would have to get rid of all their sin, and they love their sin too much.
The attractiveness of the flesh, I believe, is the way the scripture puts it. The things of the flesh, the vanities, the vices. You're right. They are enamored with their vices, so much so that you're right. Acknowledging the truth of what the scriptures talk about. There is one little caveat I would throw in there, though, such as, you know, medicinal marijuana. Everything in scripture points to one thing. Do no harm. Do no harm to your spiritual aspect. Do no harm to your neighbor. Do no harm to your body. Eat. Don't put poisons in it. So everything in scripture is basically that. The premise is do no harm. Otherwise, don't do the things that are unnatural. Don't do the things that that will take your health and put it in the toilet. If you look at it from that point of view, everything makes perfect sense. So again, lots of things can become an idol or a vice that if they were done in moderation, if they were done with the right intentions, they wouldn't necessarily be a vice. Whereas if you go, well, we'll take beer or mead or any other, if it's made naturally from natural ingredients and all, it's a beverage. And having a couple of those beverages is not necessarily sin. But if you're going to adulterate it, okay, now it's a sin. If you're going to drink a 12-pack at a single setting to where you can't even stand up, okay, now you've done harm. So therefore, now it has become a vice. You see what I'm saying? It's not a black and white issue in the sense that, well, every movie you watch is terrible and going to destroy you. Every glass of beer you've had is a sin. Every relationship you've had is a vice. Again, what's the intention? Are you doing harm or are you doing good? That's the way I look at it. Back to you.
Right. I look at it as far as medical marijuana is concerned, if anybody is smoking it and they think it's medicinal, you've been lied to. Marijuana, in order for it to be any use of a medical substance, it has to be a extremely high THC concentrate in liquid form or edible form, such as the type that Rick Simpson produced, known as Rick Simpson oil. If someone is smoking pot and considering it to be medicinal, that's incorrect. And anybody who knows anything about it, and I know a lot about it, anybody who knows anything about it knows that it has to either be applied topically to such as something like skin cancer or something like that, or it has to be ingested in a very, very high THC concentration, or it doesn't do anything but get you stoned. So that there's a fallacy out there with this medical marijuana thing, Dan, where unless it's being ingested, such as a Rick Simpson oil, it's not doing anything but harming you. And that's the truth about that. I know a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
It has to be ingested orally or topically put on, such as a skin cancer or something like that. And that's the original premise behind medical marijuana. And then, you know, the enemy gets involved in these things. And now they're telling people that they're going to relieve stress and anxiety by smoking a joint.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay,
right.
This is not happening, okay?
Right.
It produces instant intoxication. I know I used to smoke a lot of pot. Okay? It produces instant intoxication. So it says in the Bible, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, right?
Correct.
So instant intoxication is not a good thing. I consider that the same thing as being drunk. Now, if somebody wants to sit down and have a couple beers, I find no problem with that. Somebody wants to sit down and have a couple glasses of wine, I find no problem with that, because you're not becoming intoxicated by that. You're just sitting down enjoying a beverage with somebody and hopefully fellowshipping with them. But as you said, if you're sitting down drinking a 12-pack of beer, well, now we have a problem.
Right.
Right now we have an issue. So that's my take on marijuana and alcohol. As far as any other drugs are concerned, you know, the Jews are even pushing psychedelics now, right? They're saying, mm-hmm. Microdose LSD and mushrooms, and it'll take care of your stress and your PTSD and all this stuff. Are you kidding me? I used to take acid and mushrooms all the time. Okay, there's nothing medicinal about that. Ecstasy is another one, MDMA. Oh, yeah, we're using it in clinical studies to help people with PTSD. Are you kidding me? This is all sorcery. This is nonsense. It's not helping anyone. They're doing it to try and get it legalized, so not only will you have a pot store in every corner in your town, but you also have stores that are selling psychedelic mushrooms on every corner in your town. And then they're going to move on to, well, we noticed that, yes, heroin can be good for you. It helps you relax after work at night. So if you just take a little, it's going to be fine. And before you know it, what's already happening now, people are walking around in a drunken, dumbed-down, drugged-up stupor all day long. So that's my take on that stuff. And people can do whatever they want. I'm not here to condemn anybody or anything like that. Just do what you want. I used to smoke a ton of weed. And it actually became addicting. People say it's not addicting. And I used to be of that ilk. I say, oh, it's not addictive. When I tried to stop, Dan, I couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the problem is that there's a store in every corner, so it's very easy to access, and it becomes a habit, right? It's not that it's physically addictive like a heroin or an alcohol is, but it's a psychological addiction, and it's a habitual thing. Where you come home from work every day and the first thing you do is take three or four bong hits, right? It becomes a natural part of your life, and that's how it becomes an addiction to you. Now, is it bad? No, because most people aren't doing anything but, you know, sitting around either reading or watching, you know, documentaries or something like that. Some, you know, they're playing these idiotic video games all night long. So is it bad? Well, it depends upon, again, how you're using it, right? I found that when I smoked pot, I could concentrate. I never played video games. I never watched mindless TV. I found that I could concentrate on documentaries and things like this. So it affects everybody different. Is it like alcohol where if you get drunk, you're going to get in your car and you're going to kill somebody? No, it's completely different. You have full control. If you're smoking weed, you have full control of your body and your mind, right? It's not, it's not like a drunken stupor. It's not like a psychedelic drug. It's not like a heroin thing. It's not like anything like that, right? So it's a weird subject, but I believe, I know it produces instant intoxication. And that's why I believe that marijuana smoking goes against the Bible. Now, let me just reiterate again, if it's for a legitimate medical issue, then the only way to ingest a, in quotes, medical marijuana is through orally or topically. If you're smoking it or vaping it, you're missing the whole point of it.
Right. Well, again, we get back to the premise of do no harm, okay? Everything in Scripture is basically do no harm. That's why it says all things in moderation. I mean, you can take something like bread or foods, and if you overindulge, it's a bad thing. Why? Because you're doing harm. You're going to gain weight. You're going to put stress on the organs and joints. Obviously bad. So do we need food? Yeah, you're going to die without it. But all things in moderation. And so I look at it that way. And again, like you said, everything is a case-by-case thing. There is no one answer for everybody because every person's body is different. Even in holistic medicine, when I studied it, every instructor I had would tell you, not every supplement, even though it's 100% non-GMO and organic, not every plant and herb is good for every person. It isn't, because your body is different. And so that's why we would do things like muscle testing or other kind of testing to see if that particular herb for your particular body and its particular problem is a good match. So, you know, again, we're not trying to say and paint this with a broad brush because there is no one answer for everybody. So you have to look at it that way. And again, the premise of Scripture is that we don't harm. Don't harm our spiritual relationship with our Father. Don't harm our relationship with our family members. Don't harm the environment that we live in. Don't harm the air that we breathe. Do no harm is basically it. If what you're doing is for the right reasons and it's helping, well, then you're not doing harm. There's your answer. But if you are doing harm, let's say if you're vaping, which I know from experience with personal friends that vaping can be very dangerous, actually, okay? is smoking marijuana harmful? Well, I know for a fact that the hot gases coming from a cigarette or a joint are not healthy for the lungs. A tiny bit now and then, maybe you can get away with, but you're still doing harm with it. It's not good. Whereas in, as you said, if it's topical or in a form of foods, like some people use gummies and stuff, now it's different. You're ingesting it, and therefore the medicinal qualities are going to come through. And yes, it's true. Our bodies actually have receptors for cannabis. Some people call it marijuana, but the cannabis plant was Yahweh's intention for us to use as medicine. That's a fact. But again, it has to be non-GMO and it has to be organic. As with everything, whether it's food or herbs or cannabis or anything, non-GMO and organic is the only thing that he has a stamp of approval on. If it's been processed, if it's a unnatural substance, and now we find out that most of your medical marijuana is GMO. Okay, a lot of people don't know that, but that's why the Jews in government turned around and let us have it, because they now have patents on it, and they're the ones going to make most of the money, whereas the illegal stuff that might be natural, they don't want you to take that. Okay, so here again, the enemy has crept in. They figured out a way to make money, at the same time poison you with the patented GMO cannabis, and then they said, well, you can have medical marijuana, but you have to get our medical marijuana, which is the genetically modified poison. Now you can have that. But if you go out into the field where natural cannabis is growing, or somebody's growing it naturally and it's not GMO and it's not hybrids, no, you can't have that. So everything is upside down. Because the natural cannabis, your body actually has receptors for it. Just like natural nicotine, you have receptors for that. And if you don't get it, you're actually, quote, doing harm. So we have to understand that. Let me turn it over to you for a second. I hear a knock at my door. I got to go find out what's going on. So I'll turn it over to you, Keith. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so, you know, I think what Dan was just saying, I kind of agree with there, but as far as the marijuana is concerned, it's all been hybridized, right? All of it has. It's very rare that you can go into one of these pot shops, marijuana stores, cannabis stores, whatever you want to call them, and buy a pure sativa or a pure indica strain. What they've done with these things is they've crossed them all. So again, that goes with kind after kind. Right. Yeah. A sativa and an indica are both cannabis plants, but they have crossed those two, for lack of a better term, breeds to make a hybridized strain of marijuana. So you've got that issue going on also with the marijuana. It's all been hybridized. It's all been crossed up. There's no really pure sativa. There's no really pure indica anymore. So you are actually ingesting a hybridized man-made plant, such as what the Jews do with everything, is they hybridize everything, right? So it's like a mule, right? You're ingesting a mule, okay, instead of the true sativa or the true indica plant. They've right. also crossed those things, and they've added other things to it to make the THC higher in the flower. So they've altered everything. The average strain of pot in a marijuana store is about 20 to 25% THC. When back in the 60s, if you went out to a wild marijuana field and picked it off the plant, the average THC content would be about 3 to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've completely destroyed that too. Okay, everything these people touch, they destroy, because as it said in the book, You Gentiles, written by Maurice Samuel, I believe, we are destroyers is what they say, right? They are the destroyers of the world, and they are destroying everything they get their little beady-eyed hands on.
Well, again, as the scripture says, the love of money, the lust of money is the root of all evil. And with the Jew, it's we'll do whatever it takes, including adulterating or contaminating something, if it produces more money, then that's okay. And so therefore they have adulterated virtually everything in this world because they found out through adulteration they can actually increase their profits. So here again, the Bible's true. The love of money, and whether it's a white man or a Jew or anybody else, if you love money to the point where you're willing to adulterate things, including yourself, well, then you have committed a transgression or a sin. And the whole world is upside down because of that. But, folks have showed up here. I didn't know they'd get here at this time. I need to kind of wrap things up here for now. But, Keith, do you want to come back on Wednesday and we'll pick up with this, or next Sunday? Is that okay with you?
I'll talk to you later about Wednesday or next Sunday. Probably better on Sunday for me than it is during the week.
Okay.
Because it'd be too early here during the week.
Okay. Put a bookmark then where we're at on your notes.
Yeah.
And we'll pick this up because this is good information. A lot of people might think, well, what the hell are they talking about that for? We should be talking about John 3:16 or whatever. But we're being poisoned, and there's a reason the enemy wants us poisoned. Okay, and we can talk about that next time.
Yeah, the last I'll say, Dan, before we go, is that next Sunday should work, but I'll text you later on today. But the last thing I want to say is people don't think that this stuff is important. This stuff is very important. It all goes together in one big package. Okay, you have to understand the world you're living in is a world where the enemy has destroyed everything that you would find sacred and helpful and good for you. Okay, and if you don't understand this, you're going to poison yourself.
Amen. Spiritually and physically.
Yes, and it affects your spirit too, right? It affects your whole body, your spirit, your soul, and your fleshly body. If you don't understand these things, it's going to affect you. That's why I discuss a whole gamut of things, not just one thing. This is all this stuff is biblical that we talk about. It's all biblical. Even the immigration issue is biblical, Dan.
Everything is biblical. You're 100% right.
The flood out of the dragon's mouth, that's immigration into the countries. So it's all biblical. But anyway, we can pick up next Sunday, Dan.
Okay, sounds good, Keith. Thanks a lot for being on.
All right, guys. Everyone have a good day, and God bless y'all.
Yahweh bless. Bye-bye. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful things that are still in this world. A lot of things have turned ugly thanks to our acquiescing to the enemy and turning our backs on you. We repent of that. We repent of asking for man-made government instead of being ruled over by you. We repent of everything our ancestors ever did and what we've done. We're not innocent either. So we just ask that you would fill us again with your spirit, that we would seek righteousness and true judgment and truth in this sick world that seems to worship lies and deception. And we need to just come back to the center of the road. We've gotten way off track. We need to get on the right path. And you are the only one with enough power to work through all the lies and deceptions the enemy has dumped on us through these electronic devices. And as we reach out to you, we just ask that you would fill us with your spirit, cleanse us of all our unclean thoughts and desires, and make us good men and women upon this earth again, that we would be representatives of you to the sick world around us, because that's the true healing that comes with the knowledge of you and your law. So again, we ask that you forgive us, guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.